Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Our lessons today are, I think, some of the most interesting phrases that people often remember from the Bible. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. Grass withers, flowers fade. People are like that. Those verses are important in understanding God's relationship to us. But truly, the focus of today, it seems to me, is God's sending His Son and the amount of love God has for us and reveals to us. Some of you may have screensavers on your screen. The one that shows up on my screen, I didn't really set up, but it shows up every day, is something from Windows. It's a picture of some place in the world or something they think you may like to see. One that showed up this week I thought was interesting, to me at least, and it was the Temple of Athena Pronaia in Delphi, Greece. Now, when I was in school, we learned a lot about ancient Greeks and Romans, and one of the things I remembered was the temple at Delphi. And that was where you went to speak to someone who would give you answers to significant questions. This particular place was on the slopes of Mount Parnassus. It was a huge temple complex spread out over an area that called the navel of the earth. If you went there today, you'd come to the foundation stones of the temple of Athena Pronaia and three restored Doric columns. Originally, it was a circle of 20 on the outside, and there was another circle of a different kind of column on the inside. And about a half mile away from there was the temple of Apollo. And that's where the Oracle of Delphi gave out her prophecies, and you would go there to see it. The sanctuary of Athena Pronaia was the first one you came to when you went there. And the meaning was simply the one before. Athena Pronaia. Athena was the goddess of wisdom, but this temple was called Pronaia because it was the one before Apollo. So when you went to see the oracle for Apollo, you first went through the one who came before. John fulfills that role of a forerunner, the one who was to make known the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. My son, my beloved, God will say at the baptism. For Mark, in his gospel, is telling the story of the gospel. There wasn't widespread use of that term until Mark. Mark's thought to be the first gospel written. And it had that simple title, and that's all it was. Verse 1 is not really a verse in the sense of a sentence. It's a title. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The title. That's what he titled his gospel. And in that gospel, we begin in the midst of the wilderness. Biblically, the wilderness was important. For the early church, it was important. A lot of followers would go out into the wilderness to try to get closer to God, to try to have a deeper spiritual experience. We think of going in the wilderness, we probably think of going up to the mountains and walking through the woods, taking a trail, maybe going out to the lake, or some of you who go deer hunting, of course, you're trying to find a wild place away from the city to do your deer hunting. And we think of that as wilderness. But the wilderness around Jerusalem, Galilee, was not quite so lush and pleasant. With sand and rock and dry. Occasionally you might have a little oasis. It was rough country. Dangerous in some places just to go through. But it was a place that people went out to see John. They went out because they knew something was missing in their life. Something in their relationship with God. And they sought out John, trying to find answers, and more than that, trying to find grace and mercy, seeking forgiveness. Having come through the first 10 months of the COVID pandemic, as we continue through Advent, we're reminded that we also are looking for new hope. 12 months ago, we came to Advent, and we were excited about the coming year, excited about what it would mean. We always, at least I think most people, are excited around the change of the year, what's going to happen next year. We moved about as we wished. We got ready for Christmas, maybe went to the movies, went out to eat some. I remember someone early on invited me to go to lunch, but I already had plans that day, so I couldn't go to lunch. But little did we know that that wouldn't be possible in another month. We assembled in groups much larger than 10. We visited friends and family. We could see people who were in the nursing homes or the hospital. A big part of what I did for a number of years was visit hospitals, because I was where there were a lot of people who were sick. We went to work and got paychecks, all the other things we do. And just a couple of months after that, the whole world changed. Everything was turned upside down. Everything seemed to be affected. Family, school, work, shopping, healthcare, eating, travel for work, travel for fun, finances, exercise, every aspect affected in some way. And today we hear those words from Scripture, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God." And the thing about those words, Israel had a very mixed history up to that point. God delivered them from slavery. They came to this new place, promised to be faithful despite all the difficulties of the journey, the difficulties often brought on by their stubbornness and their arrogance. Joshua led them across the river to the land promised to Abraham. They had their own nation. They were ruled for probably about 400 years, but we don't know for sure, by judges, including Deborah, Gideon, Samuel. Eventually, they told God they wanted a king, and they got a king, Saul. Two more kings for the monarchy, David and Solomon. The nation in this form lasted about 165 years. And after Solomon, it split into two: Israel, the northern kingdom, Judah, in the south. The children of Israel continued to drift away from what God had called them to do. And eventually, judgment came. And Isaiah is writing to the people in the face of that judgment. The first part of Isaiah is filled with words of judgment and condemnation because the children of Israel have turned away from God and God's law. They have treated each other poorly. They failed to do what they were called to do. But in the passage we read today, and starting in Isaiah 40, we read words of comfort and hope and assurance that God has not forgotten them. Jerusalem has fallen to the enemy. The temple has been burned and destroyed. The house of David is no longer in charge, and they thought the house of David would be there forever. Now a whole new group of Jews, unrelated to those, have been sent off to Babylon in exile. Children of Israel no longer can trust in the temple or the city or the kings or even the land which they had been promised as they came out of Egypt. What are they to trust? Isaiah says, trust the words of the Lord. Trust that God has not abandoned you. Trust that God still cares for you. Surely that word of comfort and trust speaks to us. Millions of people worldwide have been affected. Over a quarter of a million Americans alone have died. Financial impact affected Millions of families, some are now in dire circumstances. Businesses face ruin. This summer we had protests that evolved into violence. The political campaign was certainly as hateful as any political campaign I can remember. If you live in California, you face terrible fires and other places out west. If you lived on the Gulf, you face terrible hurricanes. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year for everyone. The bishop in his letter this week quoted that song about needing a little bit of Christmas about now. And I thought it was a great thing to say. Because I didn't know a lot about the song. I always thought it was a good song. But he made the point that in the play from which it came, the song happened in August after a whole bunch of stuff had gone wrong. And they said, what we need is a little bit of Christmas, something good to happen in our life. We look at these verses of Scripture, and they offer us more than a little bit of Christmas. They offer us hope and comfort, the assurance that whatever comes in our life, God has not changed nor forgotten. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, are Mark's first words that we read. This is not just a story about somebody. This is the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And we think sometimes that the beginning of the story is just Mark's way of saying, well, I'm starting this book now. But in fact, this whole chapter is the beginning of the good news. And then the whole book becomes the beginning of the good news. The ongoing work of the gospel didn't stop with the beginning of the good news. It didn't stop with Jesus' crucifixion. It didn't stop with the resurrection at the end of Mark. And even though in Mark, the women who went to the grave, it says, were afraid in that verse in chapter 16. But the truth is, when Mark wrote the gospel, whether they were afraid or not, the good news spread, and the good news continued to spread, and the church grew, and the church grows even today when people experience the comfort of God's promises and grace and mercy and understand the depth of God's love. And so what we need, certainly, as the bishop says, is a little Christmas. But we find that not in big things, but even in this season when so much has changed, we find it in the little things that God works in our lives, that we're called to work for others. Sometimes it's things we don't much care for, like staying away from crowds or wearing a mask in public. Sometimes it's important for our communities and our friends that we buy from local businesses to support them. Whether we help charitable organizations in our communities as we did with the tree, as we do with the other ministries of the congregation. It may be sending a note to encourage someone who's struggling or facing difficulty. It may mean calling someone is lonely. And the list goes on and on. And that's the point. We focus oftentimes on the big spectacular things that have happened in the past or even today. But the life of the Christian is just as much in the small things, where we touch people who need to experience God's grace and comfort. Everything in Mark starts with one word, arch, meaning beginning or origin or start. The whole gospel of Mark starts that way. The beginning. We are the continuation of that gospel. Whatever our usual preparation for Christmas, it is fundamentally about small things. We've done some things. We have our Advent wreath. We have our nativity scene and our Christmas tree. I suspect you probably have those, at least many of you, in your homes. Other things that we usually do, not so much are we able to do this year. Christmas parties, the Advent meals that normally we have. Things that have to change. But the beginning of the good news, the gospel, doesn't change. The beginning of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is not just in the big spectacular events. It's in the everyday life when we seek to live out Christ's love with those around us, whether in our family or in our community. So we watch and we wait and we look and we try to prepare, because the Christ child will grow up and will experience all the aspects of our life. And when we read that Gospel of Mark, as we will do in the coming year, we read the good and the bad, the transfiguration, the suffering, the death and resurrection, the fear of the disciples. All of that is part of the beginning. But through it all, God still tells us, I am with you. And when we sing the hymn, O Come Emmanuel, we are eager for Christ to come again. And he promises that he will. And in this season, as we prepare for Christmas, as we prepare for the day when we can gather again in more normal fashion for our worship and praise of God, to share in the communion on a regular basis, to experience fellowship, the promise is still there. Jesus, the Son of God, the end of Mark, truly this man was God's son. And all that went in between is the beginning of the gospel. Let us never forget in this Advent season that we await Christ's return for eternity. But as it was for Mark, so it is for us. The beginning of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Whatever happens in the world, fading flowers, wilting grass, 1,000 years, the good news is still there. Mark announced that day, the beginning of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We now are part of that good news and are called to continue to share that good news in whatever little way we can, despite all the efforts of the world to make it hard. We continue. We share and we hope. You look to a coming year with exciting possibilities. Use this season to prepare as you watch and wait for Christmas and whatever it brings. Amen.